Okay, how about purple? Purple. Imagine royal. Purple.
Royal.
Royal.
Passion, if you believe Elizabeth Taylor.
That's what?
It's supposed to be the color of passion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's quoted as saying.
We'll talk about this. Sexuality. This is excellent. This is excellent. Because there are two different senses of passion. They're very deep. Okay, what else with purple?
It can be very somber. I guess because I associate it with a plant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Other words that have come up, majesty. I have a collection of several weeks to draw from here. This
ecclesiastical.
Okay.
Oh, I lent everything. Or yeah.
Mm-hmm. That one thing other groups came up with was age. And I think this fits in here, and I think this is very important.
Old ladies wear purple.
Mm-hmm. They thank you. Better believe it. you will find that you earn it, and there you may very well feel good in purple, and there's a good energy there and a good reason for this. So this is excellent. You've earned it. Okay, anything that you wish to, like every gray hair, you know, my children gave up trying to pull out the gray hairs. My daughter looked at me and said, Mother, you'd be bald. I said, well, every one of them has been earned. So you earn your purple, too. Okay, anything else about any of these colors? Anything to add, or these are good lists.
I remember what about blue, in Christian art, Virgin Mary is almost always in blue. I don't know whether it's the connection
that's
with heaven.
That's a Byzantine rule.
Well, I will put that down, and we'll see why. Now, remember that in the time of the Old Testament, and I will talk about this more tomorrow morning when I talk about auras, but the colors that we see in paintings and that are depicted in the Bible and that come to us as examples or sensings come from a time when there was a definite higher level of consciousness, a higher awareness of the energy that is all around us, be it dreams, seeing auras, which are all the halos that we see around and in all of the paintings depicting prophets, anybody who was visionary, and of course, Christ, disciples, and so forth. Anybody who had attained, and we'll see this as we go on, anybody who had attained the wisdom was able to live within this sensing and receive the energy which we are now coming to call cosmic or universal energy. It addresses us through our dreams. It addresses us through the five senses when we put the cap of consciousness back on in the morning and we live from morning till night, usually in consciousness. But according to the five senses, the time of the Greek and Romans, by that time, we had come to focus through the five senses. If you could not find an answer by seeing, tasting, touching, smelling, feeling, touching it? No, I missed one. Anyway, if you could not find the answer through the five senses, it didn't exist. The things that mattered were the material things, the things that you gained in your life and your status. Not necessarily sitting back and letting go of the self and allowing other things to come through. Religion needed to be controlled, the growth of the church. No, control people. And the higher level of consciousness was something that cannot be funneled and controlled. And this in the early church was something that was a little frightening to them because the power was out of their hands. And power had to be something very tangible, something that they held. And so many things became anathema. One of them, reincarnation. Another was seeing auras. And another was being in any way visionary. This became something that was wrong. And as a former member of the Episcopal Church, I had a very hard time as I started in toward ordination and found that being a woman, being divorced, and seeing strange things worked against me so that there is no board of commission in the Midwest that would even look at me. And I thought, wow. Now, moving out here, I probably could buck the system. But that's what it is. It's a system. And to me, what we're experiencing is not a system, and it doesn't fit. And it doesn't, it belongs. It doesn't not belong. And we need to focus, therefore, and the reason I'm saying this, it's not something that comes naturally. We've got a whole lot working against our getting into sixth sensing life. It is not corporately, there isn't time. I was just saying before I came here that my time on the job is in rehabilitation and in healing is such that I come home very tired. There's no time. There's no energy. And it's interesting to me that we have to make time. It doesn't belong in church. It doesn't belong in daily life. It doesn't belong in the workplace. There's no room for sixth sensing yet in our lives. It's coming. It has to come. Because we're not going to survive just with the five senses. We are destroying the planet with what we are doing and controlling. And we are rising above this to begin to let some of the material stuff go. It's happening very quickly. But there still are very strong restraints for this sort of thing. But back in the Old Testament time, and early in the 1900s, there was a lot going on. And it's that surge that has come back up, and there have been surges through every generation. This was just one of them. And it was this book that I was reading that brought me to the point I'm going to share with you now. And I read it the first day I got here. It's presented. This was one of the books that I was given to read. Called The Voice of Isis. And author is not known. But we have at our fingertips a whole nother world. And let's enter this now. We have the primary colors, red, yellow, and blue. Up here on the board, you have put some words that mean to you red. I'm going to put under here, red is the life pulse. Now if I put red down here as the life pulse, it is the lowest color on the vibratory scale. It's the first in the spectrum that we see. It is the lowest vibration. It is, and as we went through meditations, many people saw this as a pulsing, comfortable, slow energy color. It's a color that is very comfortable because we are based on red. The word Adam means blood in the face, blushing as he discovered his nakedness, blood in the face. All of these words, life, fire, blood, danger, stop, strength, hot, anger, passion, energy, and even calm, the life calm, are all the life pulsing, the energy of man's life. Now we'll go on to yellow, and I'm going to put up here intellect. Now what I'm giving you are the human attributes, the human qualities of these colors. I don't think I came up with a better one than that. And it is the it is also wisdom. Yellow is partway up the vibratory scale, red, orange, yellow. It's a higher vibration than the red. You will feel a lifting with yellow. It often is a color of celebration. Not the same as blue, which is spiritual, but lifting in a slightly more solid way, knowing or intellect, the growth of the mental abilities of a person. As we look at yellow, we have joy, sun, life, spring, intuition to a point when it's based on wisdom, flowers, aura. It is an uplifting color. And blue, I'm going to put spiritual. Down. And spiritual is next to the highest vibration.
Could you say your red, orange, yellow? I'm not clear as to what comes after that.
Red, orange, yellow, green, blue. And I'm going to say it's violet. Now we're going to deal with purple, and this is where I've done quite a bit of work that I wish to share with you. But spiritual, and look at blue. Uplifting, ethereal. Sky, sea, coolness, serene, tranquil, placid, power. Yes, power. Different than yellow, different than red, right? It's a different feeling of power, fragile, Virgin Mary, spiritual, the mother goddess, if you will, the mother god. And that was brought to us from times prior to Christianity, when there was a mother god. And it was in the Celtic time brought into the church by the Christian church to incorporate what we have had prior to that time, which was Mother Earth and Mother God. So the Virgin Mary was a very spiritual being for us, personified, not recognized beyond that. It was very a very patriarchal establishment within the church, but the Mother God is there and very spiritual. Okay, now I'm going to add a couple of other words here. And this, we have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to start with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through us. The Holy Spirit brings,
I guess I better put all three of these, the wisdom of Christ with yellow, and the will of God with blue.
It is the Holy Spirit which lives within us and brings us the wisdom of Christ as well as the will of God. And the will of God, of course, works through Christ to us. But the Holy Spirit is the slow pulsing, the translation of all that is spiritual into us through Christ. And when I came across this, at first I put it aside. And then to share a dream, I had all of this going on in my mind. And I had read all of this, and at that point I had devoured, you know, two of the books. I'd been here a day. The next morning, the phone rang, which in my dream I knew at Holden was not possible. And the phone kept ringing, and I thought, okay, I will answer the phone. So I answered the phone, with which I woke up. Oh, well, great. You know, who's on the other end? And as I lay there with my eyes shut, trying to bring that into focus, this whole thing was right there. It was like, look, lady, pay attention to what you have realized. And I, the phone has rung a couple of other times. I have learned, I don't answer it, I let it ring, and then when I wake up, I just figure out, okay.
It's May kind of, I quote you in one of my talks?
Go right ahead. And in my dream, I had to smile about that, because I thought, okay, I know what's happening. I know what's going on. But as I then did pay attention, and I had a day that I could spend by myself, and I went up to my rock up above Honeymoon Heights, which I do each morning, and I just sat there with it. And I didn't think it at all. I just let it kind of happen, and all of this developed. It's very difficult right now for me to share it. I have not attained the point where I have the bridge to bring it forth yet, and it's still very new. But I've had an awful lot of input from all of you as I've done so, with experiences and so forth that are imminently helpful to what's going on. This will be published, incidentally. This is one thing I'm making room for when I go home, is the computer and time to work this through.
It comes to mind that there's this famous icon by Rublev, the Trinity. Are you familiar with it?
I'm not.
I'll talk to you about it later, but it has this configuration, and it is the Trinity. And I don't know if the colors are exactly the same, but it seems to be very close.
Okay.
And it's a famous icon.
I would like to
have
know
it
about
with me. I'll show it to you tomorrow.
I would like to see it. As I said, many things happen.
All right. I just realized it.
Oh, my heavens, that would be marvelous. That the Holy Spirit works through us in all that we do. And the color of this planet is red. It has a life force of red. I don't mean nature, but I mean through us. In fact, as I was reading, so that everything that comes out of the ground, as it emerges out of the ground, it has red in it.
Yes, I've noticed that.
So I could be found walking around on my hands and knees looking at the ground, and sure enough, even at this time of year, the things that the small pines, and you look at the cones as they begin to emerge, they are red. or there will be red in them. Intriguing. You have to spend time on your hands and knees in the dust, though.
Just think of a newborn baby. Couldn't be more red.
Could not be more red. So the Holy Spirit working through us. A higher energy, yellow, intellect, wisdom. We have earthly intellect. We can gain knowledge. Knowledge is not intellect. Knowledge is man's learning, and you can read an awful lot of books, but if it doesn't hang together within the person, this is not necessarily intellect. And wisdom. Wisdom is not measured by your library. But the wisdom, the freeing of where we are in our life and being bound by looking down, being able to look out and look up and do so with knowing. It's just like my phone ringing and being presented with information. I had a choice. I could say, no way, I don't wish to be bothered. Or I could say, okay, I am open. And I can remain open as an empty vessel and receive whatever wisdom is there for me to receive, which is what I choose to do. And it's hard not to get caught back in all the neat little five senses things. I face one when I go home on Saturday, getting caught right back in my old routine and say, I'll put that aside.
And I'm going to know about that.
Yeah. And I'm this time dropping down to part-time work. They don't know it yet. Mm-hmm. But that seems to be the only way to tackle some things, to continue this flow going. The wisdom of Christ, the ultimate of the wisdom of Christ. How do we depict it? We depict it with a halo. The ultimate wisdom is, in fact, yellow. And I was telling Emily that I had seen a halo, 3 weeks ago, around a pastor who was, he's not the regular pastor. He has a very strong belief, and occasionally he will take over the Eucharist. And every time he said the victory, this yellow halo was pulsing. It is the ultimate flowing through of wisdom. And someone who is open and trying to bring that wisdom out to the congregation. And that's the ultimate in the yellow. And the yellow goes to a yellow-white, the blinding light of Christ, in which we stand and live.
And the transfiguration.
The transfiguration. And that is the ultimate wisdom. And that vibration is moderately high, it's still solid. These are measurable, by the way. And tomorrow with the aura, I'm going to bring in an experiment that shows, it's kind of fun, it shows the energy that you have, not the heat, but the energy that we have, and the energy that is around us, and the energy that is color, and the energy that I'm talking about. Blue, the will of God. Blue is, blue is the next to the highest in energy, and it is the most spiritual color. And in meditating, when you're in blue and you go to a blue-white, you are very likely to rise. Mm-hmm. It's the ethereal, the very uplifting and spiritual, the will of God. And the words you put down for blue, are things that aren't forms. They're feelings, and they're broad, and they're very encompassing. From the sky to the sea, we have a blue sky. That blue goes all the way around around the earth. And the same source that this voice of Isis talks about the arch of heaven, God's protection for us in blue. And the colors that we see, the blue sky could be any color. It happens to be that energy that works. It's not there by accident. No, and it's a certain energy, and that energy is transmitted to us as blue. So this is pretty heavy stuff. And yet, it's to me right now, it's something that's very natural. And something that works, it works within us as you think about it. And if you think in terms of both the earthly terminology and the spiritual terminology for each of the primary colors, it may help you understand why you feel as you do about one color or another. We're going to go on to the secondary colors, which are slightly more earthly manifestations of the primary Trinity. I will also say the number three is completion, wholeness, unity. It includes polarity at the corners. You do not have balance without polarity. You do not have balance without opposition. You have it in a triangle. You have that pole. So we do have a balance in the number three. Now, let's add orange, which is made when you combine red and yellow. We will add green, which is made by combining yellow and blue.
Oh, that's right.
And we will have purple, which is made by combining blue and red.
Got a Jewish?
Yes, absolutely. And this is a wonderful, wonderful sign which I will share with you. Why? Okay, let's talk about orange. Now my watch is running down. Is it 4:45?
Yes. Almost.
I want to pack everything.
22.
22, wonderful.
Thank you.
My watch runs however it wishes. Something I'd love to get rid of. Okay, orange. On the earthly level, energy. Orange is a toughie. And I have found more people having trouble with it than liking it. There is going to be a reason for this. I have not found it yet, but I suspect I will begin to sort this out as I figure out why I react to it as I do. It is energy. It is a combining of the life pulse and intellect. So you still have the earth pulse, which is very humanness, it's our very humanness, and you have intellect. And you bring them together and you have a life sort of energy. The way I look at it is not really in a lot of the books, but I look at it as the outgoing person who is very cordial, who is very oriented to charity and to giving and so forth on a very surface level. And very popular in the 70s. And it was coming out of the me time and going into the, you know, the service and doing and so forth. It is a color of energy, and that means that if you use it on brochures and so forth, it's a color that means this is something that's doing something. This is an institution that's going places and so forth. Fruit seasonal disturbing. Absolutely, we found that destructive. Yes, it can be, if used with the wisdom incorrectly. If it's not balanced, it can be warm and heavy. It can be joyous. It can be alive. But not restful. It's not the restful.
Halloween is another.
Halloween, yeah. Harvest has come up with this. Harvesting, it is on the mental end, storing of energy. And it is, of course, a good accent to other things. True. Good accent to other things. On the spiritual level, it is the servanting. Servanting. The giving of oneself with the wisdom of Christ, being able to give of one's humanness to other people. I don't know the answer, but it certainly seems to be, at least in Holden, for Holden Village, it seems to be quite universal. Outstretched hands, self-confidence. It is the color of Christian Science, mind over matter. Positive thinking, it's all of these things. A little bit elusive. Needs to be in real good balance to be used. I'm going to go to purple, which on the earthly level is royalty. It is something which is earned. It is between the life pulse and the will of God. Very spiritual influence on the humanness. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is an intellectual influence on the humanness. Wisdom on the humanness. This is a spiritual influence on the humanness. And we have the words here, royal, passion, passion for Lent, absolutely. Now, what Elizabeth Taylor is talking about may have something to do with age, too. but for her, it is the royalty and the majesty and the depth of that and what she has earned in life. And, you know, it comes from the humanness. And it's powerful. That's powerful. Ecclesiastical, absolutely. In this combining of red and blue. Lent, can you see where age comes from? The majesty of age, a quiet majesty, with both wisdom and maybe being able to focus less on the material things and view a little bit more the Lord's working through one, purely spiritually, not necessarily with intellect and the wisdom, but by feeling. We come to royalty, which spiritually is the ultimate of purification of the humanness. Purification. Lent. Purification. This is a very strong color, obviously. Green. Nature. Nature. Look what it's between. The wisdom of Christ and the will of God. We have nature. Yes, we do. We have the entire earth in which we live, on which we live. The natural setting is not earthly. The natural setting is very spiritual. How many of you have gone out and said, I'm just going to lie down on the grass You do so, and 15 or 20 minutes later, you stand up and you feel good. The energy. Leaning against a pine tree. Go out and lean against a pine tree. Check the sap first. I made that mistake last week. Or don't worry about it for 20 minutes. You will receive the energy from nature. It is natural. This is God's world. This is my Father's world. Heard that, I think, this morning. But it is. And that's how it is formed. Not by man. There's no red in nature. And it's all through nature, but it's not man's doing. The natural earth is of God and of Christ. And we can add to that what we have on a spiritual level is balance and harmony.
Is that why balance I feel so good when I wear green?
Sure. That's why hospitals are green.
Work, it's like people refreshing. Like I'm a different person. They look at me differently. They don't know what it is, but they'll feel it. Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe it just happened to look good in green. Maybe there's more.
Well, and if you feel good in a color, wear it. I talked 2 days ago about my blind friend who goes through her closet. Picks out her clothes. She can feel the colors. And she knows if something goes with something else. She sees colors just as clearly as we do. Green feels good on you. Wear it. And know why.
Go ahead.
No, that's...
All right. In the Orthodox Church, we have colors at Advent, and green is the color of faith. That's why I mentioned it.
And that
brings, that's a kind of balance and hope and well-being.
Yes, within the church. Mm-hmm. It is the natural within the church. And here we have growth, creativity, grass, nature, fresh, nurture, youth, comfort, soothing, faith, energy, Christmas, crispness, continuous, refreshing, mm-hmm. all natural. Since my phone has rung, this has given me quite a different view of the colors and where they are around us. Do you have any questions about these? I have just three last things to share with you.
And then blue was the Advent color liturgically on the church. And it used to be purple with Lent, but they began to see those were two different things.
They're two different
things. Are so right.
And the Advent is the building, spiritually, purely spiritually, to the moment of Christmas. There are six colors here. Six is an unsettled number. It is not a complete number.
Right.
Six bespeaks unknown. Something ahead. Something to come. Star of David is interesting that way. In other words, we don't have all the answers. The Trinity is complete. But six, there's more to come. And I'm going to share two of these things with you that I've been working with. It's ever-changing. Forms not yet known to us. It'll come to seven.
Right.
Now, we say red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet in our rainbow. Any color book that you read says red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Seven colors, just as there are seven tones in an octave.
Mm-hmm.
And in this book again, it talks about the next octave of color, the next octave of sound that will then bring us the dog whistle within our hearing, not only that, but different tones that we don't hear yet, not necessarily higher. But the number six, not complete. Leading up to something. It does not mean imperfect. It simply means, like a 5-7 chord, it's going someplace. Mm-hmm. All right, let me give you first indigo and then violet. Now, you have red on the level of vibrations. You have red at the lowest, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and the highest vibrating color that we can see is violet. Purple is man-made. Purple is not the color. Because, look, if you go from red, you're going up the scale of vibrations. You go red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple. Purple is a mixture of the lowest red and blue. It's going to bring it halfway back, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't compute. So purple is simply a combination of these seen by us, but the next one up the vibratory scale is violet. Aha.
I keep wanting to take your two-dimensional board and make it a three-dimensional board and bring that out this way.
Mm-hmm. That would be very helpful if you'd like to do it. I was wondering how I could do this, and the only thing I can do is write them down, you know, two-dimensionally. Indigo is seen in auras, and I realized when I began to study it, I have seen indigo in auras. It will be seen in dreams when the conscious mind is allowed to slip away. And indigo, I'm going to put down here, indigo is a mystical borderline. Indigo is a combination of the secondary colors. It is not deep blue. If you do any natural dyeing, you say indigo, it's a dark blue. It isn't. It's a combination of orange, green, and purple.
Oh.
And that forms indigo.
That's why you want it out here overhead like a pyramid.
Keep working. Aha.
Interesting.
Interesting,
yeah.
Is right.
It comes out this way.
Because indigo would be out here.
Out here, right.
Between these three, you pull these three together and you get indigo. A mystical borderline, it's used in hypnosis, either self-hypnosis or hypnotizing someone else. You can project indigo, and it does extend inner vision. It's the beginning of this extension, and as we go to the level of higher consciousness, we will be able to see indigo more. Then the highest one is violet. And violet, what do you suppose violet would be?
Combination of all colors.
No, and no, it's a separate color. Oh. White is the combination of all colors.
That's right.
Violet is holy love. And another, it's the very highest spiritual attainment. The only way we see violet is through ultraviolet rays.
So it can't be seen with natural.
No, we put it together. We put violet together as a blue, blue, red. More blue, less red. It isn't. It is a separate color. It is said in this book from 1914 to emanate from the moon. The ultraviolet rays And they were saying from a planet behind the moon. Well, of course, we know this. Well, we don't know, actually. It is not of the same source as the other colors. We do know that. Ultraviolet rays are different. So here we have the actual seven-tone scale, and it's referred to as a scale of color from the lowest vibration to the highest vibration. And purple isn't there. I found that I kept reading about these three colors, purple, violet, and indigo.
When you think of it anymore, you do see violet, you don't see purple.
You see?
But when we put it in paint terms, we...
is purple.
Yeah.
Or no. Variations from the blue to the red. But violet is, and you're absolutely right, it is lifted out. It is three-dimensional. Pyramid is an interesting suggestion. Very interesting suggestion. Again, the completeness, and that is an energy form. It has been known as such down through the eons. Hmm. What about black and white? We're talking about light now, not putting opaque colors together. What is white?
It's supposed all to be mixed or all light.
It's all light.
All color, all.
The light of Christ. Totality. Mm. God told us in the Old Testament that we were given the rainbow so that we could see that we would never be abandoned again. He would always be with us. How is he with us? He is with us through Christ. All colors. I didn't bring it with me. I have a wonderful the front on an Episcopal bulletin. It has the pure white light, a crystal, and then a rainbow. Mm-hmm. And it says the light of Christ is reflected into us. On the back it says be transformed on the front.
There's a beautiful poem also.
But it's refracted, not reflected.
Yeah. The eternal white light is refracted into the many colors of the rainbow. I can't quote it exactly.
But this is what happens, isn't it?
That's right.
The light of Christ is refracted to give us what we can handle through our six senses. Mm. Our six senses. We usually rely on five. But we cannot see the light of Christ. But as we live through the colors, we also live within the light of Christ. Because then you are living within all vibration. Everything known by the inner eye is available to you. What about black?
As far as we know, it's the absence of color.
It isn't at all, though.
It's the absence of light.
It's the absence of light. But in that blackness, a pure blackness, if you look at black, you can, and say if you put the blue, a dark blue, next to the black, in between that blue and black, you'll begin to see indigo. That black is full of things unknown to us, and that's all it is. It's not nothingness. And people, when we've meditated in a black room, nobody has fallen into the void, you know, this way and just nothingness. I find myself, that room expands to be the universe. I am out in the blackness, but I'm floating. I'm not sinking. The blackness holds everything that brings us the movement from the number six. That's what blackness is. It's this what we don't know.
Why do you suppose that black is so often used as a symbol of evil?
Well, it's the unknown, and it was early associated with the term black magic. When you turn the essence of the colors for evil purposes. Those colors are not in their true energy. They're used in an evil way, and it is termed in blackness. They're not termed in color, but they're used to manipulate. And anytime any of these colors or any of the abilities, and I'll talk about this tomorrow morning, as I talk about auras and dreams also, you know, if it's used to manipulate another person, which is why I don't see auras. I guess it's not given to me to see everybody's aura. Apparently I do. And I can tell you quite a bit about yourselves as you sit here. But I don't see the colors. And I could be intruding on your privacy. Now that could be used, and when it's used for evil purposes, it goes, so to speak, underground. And with that clandestine use came the term blackness. And in the Bible, but then, look, out of the darkness came light.
In the darkness, Christ was not. Christ was light, and darkness, Christ was not. And that's
right. And it was a good visual way of having the.
It is five.
Okay. Of having the opposites. You have good that's white. Well,
yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. As far as we can.
Okay. I thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you.